I don't know why Hollywood doesn't just give us a casting company and like Please. We just do that, right? All right, here we go. This is it. Welcome to the latest, greatest episode of What Did I Miss? Joined today by, I'm sorry, did you guys turn 50 yesterday?
Yeah.
Miss Sklar Brothers, how are you handling this?
Not well. I'm a bit of a basket kid. No, I'm
you know, yeah, like when we were, but when we were like 10 and you saw like, and we saw like a 50-year-old man, I'm like, oh, that guy's going to die soon. That's the end. He's on the like
today,
the end
tomorrow.
Of the roller coaster. But I don't feel that old right now. Maybe we're just
right. That's not how we feel. Right?
Isn't that weird? I just had that conversation the other day. I was like, when I was, you know, a teenager and somebody said they were in their 40s, I was like, ooh, God, that's weird.
Yeah.
And now I feel like, oh, I feel so young and fresh, but not really. At least you get to be with someone else.
Right. It's what you do. It's kind of this job that we do keeps us young. Like you're just forever kind of moving forward. And, you know, as comics, like you step out on a stage and every single time we do it, we're like, this could go or this could, you know, you think it's, you know, it's going to go well, but there are just factors that are out of your control that at times you can't control. And you're like, okay, that's like living on the edge. You know what I mean? That's not like, it forces you to consistently create new things and all that other stuff. And I think that keeps you younger. Definitely keeps you like more neurotic.
Yeah. I feel like, and your sleep. Yeah. And you go, but you're trying to balance a crazy life, crazy career, but then you also have families and you're trying to do the, you know, that responsible adult part. I always find that to be the hardest. I obviously opted to not do any of the responsible part of adulting.
God.
So like,
smart.
I don't know.
Kids
yeah,
age
I know.
You. Kids age the hell out of you.
That's what I'm thinking. It would be hard to pull off both.
It is hard to pull off. It is so hard to pull off both because, and then you also want to like, as sports fans and people who love the things that we love, sports and music and all this other stuff. Like you want to go out and experience that stuff too. You're like, oh yeah. Then we also have to have the component of our life, which isn't taking care of people, but doing stuff for ourselves and growing as human beings ourselves. So there are moments where you kind of go through long stretches where you're like, oh wait, I didn't do anything for myself in the last 3 weeks. And that's why I'm yelling at the microwave. You know what I mean?
Yelling
at
everyone,
in the family. Anything.
And the dog, the people. Everybody. Well, you guys are, I'm happy you're here because this is going to be our second time doing this game we're calling sports casting.
I love it.
People may or may not realize this, but the Breaking Bad universe, which of course includes Better Call Saul, you guys had an appearance on.
So
we did.
Please
much
tell
fun.
Me more about
it. I will
this.
Tell you all about it. So we got the audition, and of course, we're like fans of the show and know Bob Odenkirk from stand up and for years in Los Angeles and revered the guy. You know, it's like in the 90s, David Cross and Bob Odenkirk did Mr. Show on HBO. And that was kind of the
gold
for our group of, for our group of comedians. Like we remember doing the Oblongs animated show with Will Ferrell. And I don't think this is speaking out of school, but when Will Ferrell was on SNL, I remember like, were we playing golf with him or something? I can't remember. We're playing golf.
We visited him at SNL. We visited him at SNL and he was like, come for rehearsal because AC/DC is the band this week. And their sound check, normally when a band does sound check, they usually just
they'll play like the first notes and then the last notes just to give everyone an idea of what things are going to get. AC/DC played 4 full songs. Like the Back in Black, Shook
Shut
Me
up.
All Night Long,
Highway to Hell.
Highway to Hell and like one other like classic. And we just, and people just started filing in and we were like, I can't believe we're watching AC/DC just blow it out in front of like 25 people. It was amazing. But while we were there on that trip, like I remember talking to him, we remember talking to him about how much he revered the show, like Mr. Show and the things that they were able to do. I mean, they're two totally different shows. You know, SNL is live and you have to kind of, you're a slave somewhat to what is going on currently.
And to the guest host and to what's happening in the news that week. Mr. Show just, you know, they changed the game. And so, you know, Bob and David, we love them and revere them and have just been fans of theirs. So when we got the audition, we're like, oh man, we got it. We got to go get this. We have to go get this job. And because it was a guest starring job, it's the kind of audition where you audition on Wednesday. And if you get it, on Thursday, you're flying to New Mexico to go shoot it.
Wow.
And so,
and it was like two episodes. So it was a little bit meatier. We were like, okay. So we went to the audition and saw all these amazing great actors and comedy people and just like really, really good people. And they were going in individually, but it was for two guys who ran a music store, ABQ and Tune. And so they were going in individually. So the casting person had to read the other brother. Were they brothers? I think they were brothers.
No, either brothers or very, they didn't really define the relationship, just two close people who co-owned this store.
So there was like a, so the casting person had to read with the other brother role or the other person role and Bob's role in these scenes. And we came in and it was like, okay, this is what your two shot's going to look like. Here's one brother, here's the other, and this is it. And so we were fully prepared and were able to kind of play a little bit in between the lines, although we didn't want to even touch it. It was so beautifully written and so beautifully done. But like, there are little things that we do that bring it to life in a way, especially in an audition, whether they use it or not. And we're like, okay, so if you're looking for the most turnkey thing, we kind of brought it. And then when we got it, we were so excited, so excited. And then not to bring it back to sports, but we get there and it's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I'm sure you remember and know the famous Houston Cougars, Hakeem Olajuwon, when they lost to
Jim
to
Valvano,
NC State.
NC State, Derek Wittenberg.
Wittenberg, Lorenzo, but there Charles. Was the, and it's only 5,200 feet up in the air. But like, remember Hakeem was like just on the oxygen, like crazy on the oxygen.
I mean, it's high if you're not used to it. Yeah,
totally. Like, but he was on the oxygen the whole time, and I'm like, ah, man, you know what a pussy. Like, come on, dude. Like, so, and then we like Hakeem, like you didn't show up. Like, I thought you were in good shape. I remember like thinking that to myself, and that was mainly because I bet $1. Against Eddie Winehouse in like fifth grade, and he picked NC State and he won, and I had to give this jerk a dollar. Anyway, so I was mad at Hakeem, and then we get there and we get the job and we're ecstatic. And we're like, oh my God, we're going to New Mexico. We're going to do this job. We get to hang with Bob Odenkirk, our friend, someone we know. Awesome. Tom Schnaz who was one of the writers, was directing it, and he was just so cool about it. He like put a camera way, way, way up, like way up high in between the guitars, and just said to us, just run the scene a couple times, just rehearse it, just run it a couple times. And so we were talking like very normally to Bob, just running our lines and going through the scene and just trying to figure out what are we doing here and what's he giving us and all the other stuff. And they're like, okay, we got it. And we're like, wait, you were shooting that?
Oh,
so smart. And it was so great because we were so natural. And it was just like, you didn't feel like, oh, God, we got it.
They used a couple spots.
I love that.
They used that, a couple
snippets of that. So they were just very smart about the way they shot it. And the set was really good. And you could tell, like, when you get on a good set where people, like, where the show's good.
Oh, see, everything just makes sense.
You know what I mean? Everybody there is happy.
No one's worried about, no one's trying to angle for their next job when this show gets canceled. Everyone's there.
They're just all happy to be there. So then I go, so I get there and I like suffer crazy altitude sickness.
Karma.
I'm basically Hakeem Olajuwon. I need a B12 shot. I'm drinking all this B12 shot. I'm drinking this stuff that like helps you keep the water inside of you. I feel like I'm going to pass out. I'm on oxygen.
Are you,
you know,
kidding me?
I completely got into an argument with Clyde Drexler. I mean, it was just crazy.
That's funny that you were like, you know, it's only 5,200 square feet, and then you nearly died.
5,200 feet up in the air, and it was just like, ugh. Anyway, but it was an amazing experience and one of our favorite professional experiences ever. And like in between, Bob Odenkirk knows how to play guitar. So like we're in this.
Like,
of course he does.
Perfect.
They were like, wait, what? How are you? And a couple other people did too. And Tom Schnaz did too. And so like in between takes, we're just hanging out with him while he's noodling around on a guitar. And it just was beautiful. It was like a truly.
And we got to ask about our favorite Mr. Show sketches. Like I was talking about the Mount Everest sketch. Do you know that sketch? It's such.
But I'll watch it when we're done.
Highly recommend. So
God.
Dumb.
How just many so people? Like people that watch Breaking Bad, because this is sort of, now that we are in our 40s and 50s, we are officially in that thing where we can go, wow, I wonder if 20-year-olds have any idea about what this person's life was before. And so like with Breaking Bad and Saul, like I don't know that young people necessarily knew that his origin was comedy. Like why would you ever think that watching him on these two shows?
I mean, and what's crazy about Odenkirk is that he was huge in comedy and did all these great, I mean, he was amazing on Larry Sanders as Larry's agent, as his, you know, jerky, coked up agent. He's so good. He's so, so good. And then for a while, he kind of got into directing and he got out of acting. He directed a couple movies. The Brothers Solomon, I believe, was a movie he directed with, was that Will Forte and Will Arnett?
Will Forte, yeah.
God. Mm-hmm. He's a Renaissance man.
So then Jay and I are performing at a show in L.A. It's called the Uncabaret. Great show, stand-up show in L.A., where you're really not supposed to come up with polished material. You're supposed to be like, this is something that's kind of happening right now, and it's great. It helps you, like, unpack. And the beauty of it is it's a show where, like, you know, we've seen Roseanne go on that show, and it's like a very small, intimate show. And then the woman who runs the show is on like a back microphone asking you questions. So like we'll be going through an idea and a thought, and she'll be like, but wait a minute, hang on a second. Why was the, it's like a podcast almost. It was like, it predated a podcast. And so we're at this club in downtown LA where there, it's like a jazz club where this show goes on. There was a band on stage and everything. And we're hanging out with Odenkirk because he's on the show. This is before Breaking Bad. This is like as Breaking Bad is being shot, the first season, and or whenever he comes in there, whenever Saul comes in, whatever season that is. And we're sitting in this like supply room. So there's like giant, because it's a restaurant too, like just giant like tubs of mayonnaise and like ketchup and these like shelves and basically aprons on the floor. And we're all just sitting on these like folding chairs waiting to go into the show. Very cramped quarters. And we're like, how's it going? What are you up to? And I thought he'd be directing. He's like, I just started acting on this show. We didn't know what it was.
Of course not.
I mean, we didn't know what it was. He's like, I just started acting on this show. It's really good. It's out in New Mexico. He's like, I'm really nervous that I'm not doing it right. He's like, it's just different than anything I've ever do. He said, however, as opposed to directing where you go to bed every night and worry about all the things that aren't getting done and this, it's my baby and I got to carry this thing to term and this and that. He's like, I just show up, do what they tell me to do. And it's the nicest experience ever to be taken care of in sort of that way, he was saying. But he's like, I hope I'm not screwing it up. I just hope to God I'm not screwing this thing up. And we were like, oh, my God, I hope it's great. What's it called? And he was like, it's called, you know, Breaking Bad. We're like, what? What is that? He's it's on AMC. We're like, what? What is? And Mad Men was on. But we're like, wow, that's just crazy that he, from this comedy background, and we were about to go do a comedy show with him, is doing this kind of serious. It was was a great moment as we look back on that. We're like, oh my God, he was talking about Saul on Breaking Bad. It's crazy.
I love when people, when you can put two and two together in hindsight and be like, oh my God, just to think that we had no idea what was coming. For me, cynical and watch way too much television, it's one of the greatest series that ended perfectly because I think my biggest complaint in a lot of shows that I've loved over the years is the ending. And I have zero complaints about Breaking Bad. If you haven't figured out at home, we're going to sports cast the Breaking Bad universe, including any characters that may or may not have shown up on Better Call Saul so far. And I'm excited about this just because, A, it took me back down sort of a little rabbit hole because I had to remind myself of some of the tertiary characters. But I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say more than anything. So we're going to start with the main guys. Are you ready?
Okay.
We're going to obviously start with one of the greatest characters of all time, played with one of my favorite actors to watch of all time, Walter White, who in the football NFL playoffs would play that part.
So Walter White and, I mean, Bryan Cranston comes from comedy in the same way.
It's crazy.
Let's talk about it. He comes from Malcolm in the Middle, where he was like incredible, like easily the greatest thing on that show.
So, so funny.
So, so funny, but played it with an honesty and a reality that was like, I mean, it was a bit of a, remember like when it started, you're like, oh, this guy's from the comedy world. How's he doing this? And now he's just one of our greatest American
Because dare
actors.
I say, to be funny, you're more intelligent than most people in the room. And I think that means that you pull off more than most people, A, give you credit for, and B, maybe you even knew you could do.
Well,
that's my own personal opinion.
You have to understand the truth of the scene and then also what makes it funny so you can play into that area.
Did Chris Rock say about Adam McKay? He was like, could Steven Soderbergh direct Anchorman? Anchorman?
Nope. No.
Holy hell, though. But would that be a weird one?
Right? But like, could McKay direct any of Steven Soderbergh's? Yeah, he can.
Yeah.
So it just tells you there's like a There's a little bar. It's so funny. We'd say this when we're talking about stand-up comedy. Everybody in the crowd thinks that, like, it's just someone talking on stage. I can do that. I'm funny around my friends. I'm funny. You're like, yeah, but those – and it just looks like it's two steps up to the stage. That's it. But those two steps
take
are
20
like
years.
10 years of – Yeah, 20 years of figuring it out that you can do that. And so it's deceptive.
I feel like you've heard me because I'm like, guys, I've been working on my 3 minutes. I just need three good minutes. Like, should I put that in my 3 minutes? I don't know. I'm going to give it a shot. 3 minutes.
Put it in.
Terrifying.
Put it in, Beetle.
All right. Who do we
Okay. Well, oh, so sorry. I got off track.
So, I mean, this might seem like the obvious choice.
This is hard.
Because you're like, who is the lead in the NFL? Like, because you're talking about the lead actor in the show. And if we're treating the NFL like a show.
Who's a complicated character who's like, you root for him, but at the same
time. Presents himself as good in many cases, but we don't know what he's doing behind the scenes. So I think we're going to go with Tom Brady. Now, here's why. Because, look. Nobody loves Tom Brady more than us and that we're Michigan fans. Like we want him to be the GOAT forever so that we can go tell everyone who ever went to Ohio State. The greatest quarterback of all time went to Michigan. Period.
From Michigan.
That's fair.
You know, it's not Terrell Pryor. It's not Braxton Miller, who sounds like when your wife is having,
premature contractions.
It's called Braxton Miller.
Yep.
And so, like, it's not any of those guys, you know. But it's Tom Brady.
So we love him, just like we love Walter White. We are sympathetic to him in his struggle, but we don't know what he's doing at TB12. Like, he could be making meth.
We really don't.
It could be meth. Making meth. It's like concussion juice. God. I don't know. Maybe it's.
It almost makes him more likable if, in the end, we find out it was meth the whole time at TB12.
Yeah, he had a little side hustle.
New doc. Like, yeah, we're like, holy
that's
crap.
That's the secret.
By the way, I'm boring. I had him too. I had him because he is the obvious face/lead/titular character.
I mean, you kind of say, I'm trying to think like, I mean, maybe Roethlisberger challenges him for that role.
No, because I don't think we like Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think he's rootable.
We don't like him, but like, here's a guy who the world is kind of falling apart for him, but he winds up figuring out some way to pull it out. Even when it looks like everything's falling down around him, he does find a way through, like 12 things have to happen in order for him to kind of get it. And it's like, wait, 12 things did happen, you know, like this past weekend.
It really did.
Right?
So many things had to happen that his coach went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's how many things had to happen.
Thank you.
That's okay. So all right. So Walter White, hands down, Tom Brady. We have no argument there.
Yeah.
How about Skylar White? Wifey.
Oh, man.
This was hard.
Very complicated character.
Yeah. Complicated character because strong on her own. You know what I mean? Like also strong on her own, not with all the information, doesn't have all the information. And yet at the same time, her potential very difficult to unlock. And there are moments of tremendous brilliance for her, but there's moments when she's in the dark. And again, things are falling apart around her. I'm going to go with Kyler Murray, Kyler.
Wow.
So, you know, like tremendous, you could see the talent, tremendous bursts at times. And you say to yourself, this person could lead this family. This person can
totally
take over the car wash and make it work. And by the way, we'll do whatever is asked of her to get it done for the team. But at the same time, not quite there yet. Would you rely on her to like, you know what I mean? Would you rely on her to take on the chicken man?
I
don't know.
This is where we differ slightly. I'm going to go with Derek Carr. And because I'm going to say Carr because you think about the Gruden stuff when it was going down and you're like, he's finding a way to still get the public face on and still talk about him and his relationship. Like he came through all that by being able to say, stay out of the fray, but still be connected to the fray and still come through in the end. So that's my
pick. So we differ on that one. That's a good one.
I differ with you guys too. I had Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh.
Because it sort of was like from the beginning, like you're behind Brett Favre, you're sort of like, what's everything's going on? And then all of a sudden, as his character has grown, and here we are sort of at its peak, I would say, now he's sort of turned bad. He didn't want to.
That's
he didn't want to go this route, but here we are.
He broke bad.
And he's highly intelligent. She was highly,
very.
So that's kind of cool that we had three different people.
Well, we have Aaron Rodgers in another slot, so we can.
That's the thing. Aaron Rodgers, I had him in a couple different ones. But,
okay.
What about Walter White Jr.? Oh, the lovable character.
the lovable Walter White Jr. Yeah. Jay, who did you have?
I mean, he's so lovable. It's, I mean, that's such a hard
he's one. Lovable. He's lovable and pure, but at the same time, corruptible. And you know what I mean? At the same time, corruptible, and at the same time, he's kind of tall and lanky. Obviously deals with injury and deals with hobbling around and, you know, the difficulties with that. I'm going to go with Carson Wentz because there's promise in the guy.
And you're like, and he is naive in some ways, like coming out of the Big Sky, you know, like he is a little like that guy from the Northern West.
Wide-eyed. And, right. Yeah.
You also think he's going to take a chance that he shouldn't take, where Walter White Sr. would be more measured. Carson Wentz was going to try and run that in. It's like, hold off, big man. You don't want to get injured. You're the franchise here. And then you kind of screw things up. But again, that's what I'm going to.
That's a good one.
The hobbled injury to me is like puts him in that category.
Y'all agree on that one?
Yes.
Yeah. We both have him? Okay. I had Derek Carr, and it was partly what you touched on was sort of the doesn't want to do the bad thing. But and Derek Carr, we all know, is a very religious man, a man of faith, and that involves a lot of flaws in humanity and acknowledgement of such. And so I went with that.
Also, like a Derek blind Carr. Faith in faith is kind of the blind faith that he had in Walter White Sr. And
he really
and
did.
You, when you and we all know that religion is deeply flawed. And it is never good to have blind faith. And you always have to question those things. And maybe he needed to do a little more questioning, but he's too innocent.
Yeah, never believe the person who's like, it's only this way.
Exactly. No, because there's no room for error there, and that can't be right.
Because you know what? There's money in them there walls.
Yeah, they're end floors everywhere else. All right, Jesse Pinkman.
So we went back and forth on this and we're going to go with, cause like, you know, all these other ones were like figurative versions of, but to me, we're like, it's Sean McVay. And I'll tell you why it's Sean McVay.
What?
Because he's a there's genius in that kid. And I'm going to call him a kid because he's way younger than us. There's genius in that kid. There's promise in that kid. But again, and you feel like he can handle it. You feel like he can sort of run the whole thing. But can he take it to the promised land? Can he get there? There's a question as to whether or not he has all that it takes.
Something always happens at the end.
Always.
At the end.
You might have all the pieces. You might have all the pieces together, but then, and you might be like, look, I got this guy on my team. I got to rely on this person over here. And, you know, Matt Stafford, he's the right guy to have to like run this thing. But then that guy's got his own issues and problems. It's like you maybe bet on the wrong guy. Like you have all the ideas in your brain, but getting them from up there to the paper is just that. So that's where, and he kind of looks like him too. You know what I mean? Sean McVay is
a diminutive one.
In a certain stature.
Very. Okay. So I went, it's funny because you saw genius and I went complete opposite with Gronk. Kind of dumb, likable, goofy, you know, has some phrases that he repeats. Like, so yeah, we went completely different, but now I may actually like yours. I actually wrote Sean McVay down after you said that, 'cause I was like, I don't hate that at all. All right.
So
all
wait,
right.
So I love did you see that TikTok of Gronk on the sideline, mic'd up when he gets, he's like, I got to get those 7 catches. I got to get that 7th catch. And he gets it. And you're like, oh my God. He just like, imagine if you got $1 million or anyone listening.
Yeah.
I mean, it just shows you, and if you've ever been on the sideline of an NFL game, you understand how difficult the thing is that these people are doing and why they should be paid what they get paid, because there's money to pay them that. It's not like you're bankrupting a city to pay them that, unless you're Detroit. But like the point is that like it's you understand why they are that good. But that was a hilarious moment that like he just got $1 million. He just got a milli, as he said. I just got a milli.
And he was just like, boom, just a catch. You got to catch one. It's like if we were like, I got to say 3 more words.
7
more
yard words, out route. Millie.
Come on. Millie.
Okay. But
like, okay. It's a different world.
But that's not just the one. I mean, whatever, in garbage time. But still, it was just like, it's incredible. But you're right. Gronk is nothing without the quarterback throwing him the ball. It's like Gronk can't create those plays. He's incredible. He can create separation, but it's so funny. We were talking to Ike Taylor when we were doing stuff at the NFL Network, Jay and I, a few years ago, we're doing it. And we're like, all right, man, we had him on our podcast. We're like, okay, you've covered against the best quarterbacks. Tell us, the lay people who don't know, like, why is Aaron Rodgers? Why is Tom Brady?
What is the difference between Tom Brady and Ryan Fitzpatrick? Like, what's the difference between those two guys?
And this is what he said. And he explained it so perfectly and so beautifully. He's like, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, even off their back foot, can put a ball in a 1 foot by 1 foot box that only the receiver can get it. So one of three things has to happen. I either got to interfere with the guy and hope that they don't call it. The guy's got to drop it, which usually doesn't happen Julian Edelman's not going to drop it. Like, Gronk's not going to drop it.
Julian Edelman's not going to drop it. He's playing for every Jew everywhere.
Like that. And
it's a lot of pressure.
He's playing for every Tinder date that is going to out him in a bedroom picture of him sleeping everywhere.
That's what happens.
And so, no, but like, he's not going to drop it. Like, it's not going to happen. Whereas, you know, like, maybe Fitzpatrick puts in a place where the DB, like, it hangs up long enough where the DB just can, you know what I mean? Like, they just know exactly where to put it, exactly what to do. And if they make a mistake, it's not going to get intercepted. It's just, he said, that is the difference between that's it. So, like, Gronk could create separation, but would Gronk be Gronk without the years and years of having the elite guy to put it exactly where it needed to be?
We will never know. That's what's brilliant about those two. We'll never know. He doesn't have to know. And
that's why I like your Aaron Paul. That's why I like your Jesse Pinkman Gronk. That's a really good.
Yeah, because it's possible that if he didn't have the team, then he wouldn't be involved in something bigger than himself.
Yeah. Like, what's the sliding doors, Jesse Pinkman? Like, where does he
go? Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, where does he go? Maybe his life is better. There's a lot of times you're like, maybe his life is better without all this and it's not as crazy.
His is tough to say. Jesse Pinkman would have been a tough one because I don't know that there were ever great options for Jesse Pinkman.
Dude,
he's either dead or he hits rock bottom, doesn't die.
Strung out on drugs. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, none of them are good. They're not good endings. By the way, shout out Gabe on that one. Hank. Big old Hank. God, there's so many good characters. Hank.
I mean, Rand, what did we say for this? I think for Hank, I said Bruce Arians.
There's like you said Bruce Arians.
Physical, yeah.
Because go ahead.
I just think there's an energy to him that is like, there's an unsolved thing that is swirling around in his brain and it itches him in a way that like he can't get to it. And that's like his thing throughout the whole, there's something that's eluding him. And so I'm going to say Josh Allen, because for me, close to, and maybe it changes, you know, but like right now it's Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills and that team that's like so close to, Jay and I were just up in, we were up in Toronto shooting something recently. And like, I was watching local Buffalo TV and it was like when they had lost a couple of games this year and it was like kind of looking bad and they actually finished really strong, which is great. But like, there was this old like same old Buffalo, same old, here you go, same old. And it's like there's this thing that's just out of reach that you're reaching for, and you have talent and you're smart and you're trying to do the right thing. Because I love Josh Allen. I freaking love that guy, because he screwed up early in his life and he, you know, made some bad decisions but has owned it, and Buffalo loves him too. Like, that's the other thing. It's like Buffalo loves that guy. He's great for the city. He's like the perfect,
very blue collar, like there's a vibe.
Goes to the hospital, visits kids. He's that guy. And so, not that other people don't, but like, he means it when he's there. And so like, I just, to me, he's that guy. You know what I mean? He's like working for the good, just out of reach, the thing that he really wants. That's the way I felt. Jay, what were you going to say?
I was saying Bruce Arians just because he physically, I don't know, there's like...
I feel like physically, that's a good...
Bruce Arians
casting
to me looks like,
yeah, Bruce Arians looks BS. Like he's like in a jazz quartet, like after work.
Like, if you told me he played the oboe in a jazz quartet downtown, I'd be like, yeah, he's got the obviously mesh Kangol for it. Like, where do you
God, the Kangol. He does have the Kangol.
Who are you, LL like Cool J?
Is he white? LL Cool J?
I don't know. Is he white?
I don't even know anymore. I will say this: Gabe Goodwin, one of our producers, he contributed the Hank Schrader on this one. And okay. I'm going to just read it word for word because Let's I do it. Think it's funny. He's got Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
Which physically, obviously, could not be more different.
Never.
But he was always on the right side of history, even when we doubted him.
Mm-hmm.
Most admirable person around, singularly focused on the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he's going to get gunned down by an evil shithead in the NFC no matter what. I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either, except that he won. Except that he won one. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But this time. This.
I mean, maybe this year.
And Hank's brother never did a TikTok dance on somebody's memorial.
Yeah, I just, God, aren't siblings the worst?
I mean, like, how bad is it that social media now, like you couldn't even do that on Instagram. I'm saying, like, TikTok came along and you're like, now I got to vet my dumb brother. Now I can't let him come to the games. It's like, nope, can't let him come there. They're doing a memorial for, like, people whose families died in a tornado. And it's like, he's going to do a tornado dance. He's going to do it.
Tornado TikTok.
You know who has more influence than Colin Kaepernick? The Island Boys. And you're like, God damn it.
I can't. Yeah. I refuse to even acknowledge what that is. Yeah, Moving on.
Thank you.
One of my favorite characters in probably all of television, just because he was quietly terrifying, good old Gus. Gus Fring.
I mean, so terrifying. Evil and terrifying, but quietly evil.
Quiet.
I mean, that third to last episode, I don't want to give, if people haven't watched it, I mean, there should be an expiration date.
He's as evil as can be, yet he's smiling at the same time. He's got money behind him. I mean, for us, that's Jerry Jones.
All the way.
Oh, like,
you know, the chicken, God. The chicken was just 9-8 average. Now, I mean, the Cowboys are doing it this year, but like for years, they were 8-8, 9-7, winning a bad division. Like there's no way.
Yeah. What about Jerry? Also, like Gus would sometimes be in the chicken shop, like working in the place
a little too much.
Yep. He doesn't need to be in there doing that. Like, and that's what we say about Jerry.
A little too hands on.
Get off the sideline.
We don't need you to be making the chicken.
Good. All right. That's a good one. I'm not even going to, I don't even have one. That's a good one.
Wow. Good.
Damn. All right. I know. Yeah. No, that's good. Cause well, once you say evil too, it's just like, oh yeah.
Jerry Jones.
You're right. That's the word. How about Mike? By the way, there were a lot of quiet, scary guys in this show. Mike's the other one.
The last thing I'll say about
Mike Ehrman Trapp.
Last thing I'll say about Jerry Jones, $16 million he spent on his own Hall of Fame induction party.
Party.
I mean, dude,
you can.
Wouldn't you?
By the way, you can do that party for $1 million.
Right?
Nobody's going to say you really skimped on the party, Jer.
$16 million.
So if you're a player who's trying to get more money out of that organization,
if you're a cheerleader who's suing them for back pay,
yeah.
If you're any, that's why Marcellus Wiley used to always joke he like stole money from them.
Good.
And no, there's no guilt because why would
I have no guilt for that too? I'm like, endless. I wish you. My only guilt is that you didn't steal enough. Like you should have stolen more.
Or that I have no way of stealing any.
How do we get some of that money?
God.
Right?
How do we get hired by the Cowboys
that's right.
for anything?
So Mike Ehrman Trout.
That was good.
Mike Ehrman Trout is my guy. Like easily my favorite character. Like,
wow. Okay.
I mean, my thing was this. My thing just in, he's a genius, I think, Mike Ehrman Trout. I think he's a genius in cut off sleeves. I mean, he is Bill Belichick. That's who he is. And for us, like we've always said this, and I think we said this on our podcast. I think when we were talking to Katie Nolan, we said this on our podcast. Like we would love, we don't hang out with Belichick enough, but I would love it if like he gets out of a press conference and he's just like
the queeniest,
the
bitchiest,
queeniest,
oh,
like, yeah, not girl. Is. I mean,
yes.
I mean, hey,
like that to us would be the. Okay, I mean,
flaming
like, what's up, girl?
Flaming Belichick
would for us, but like, you just don't
you
see
guys?
It. I mean, apparently,
seriously,
you guys,
seriously,
you guys.
I just want him to say seriously. Like, I just want to
seriously.
Hear him. I don't even care how he says it. It's just seriously.
I'm freezing out here.
You
I
guys?
Wish I had sleeves.
You guys, like he's got
like
to have
that
somewhere.
To us would be
like,
the greatest.
He has to have like some total. Because he mutes his emotions so much in every press conference, like there has to be a place where it comes out. Like Randy and I talk about this all the time. We we have to be absurdly positive in the face of all these improbable odds of what this dumb business we chose to be in. So like we are told no 99 times out of 100. And then you have to have an almost like disconnect. You have to disassociation with reality in order to stay in the business that we're in.
Right.
And you got to be like a relief pitcher, you know, who just gave up a gopher ball. And you're just like,
short-term memory.
All right. Just kick the Roz, go get the Roz and throw it down.
But the byproduct of having a short-term memory of things that are emotionally taxing and stressing is that will come out in another part of your life. Things don't go away. They're part of your being, right? So for us, all of our negativity comes out while we're watching a Michigan football game or a Michigan basketball game. And it just spills out of us in an irrational way.
In a vitriol that is just...
God, I love it.
I fear all the texts that we've sent our friends in the middle of the... It shouldn't exist. And as he was holding it together in so many ways, his people were running amok and things were starting to kind of bubble out and fizzle out in his world that he had to keep tabs on. So like when you're trying to hold it together for someone else who hired you, that's how you're making your bones. And then other things are falling apart. To me, feels very Belichick this year. No. Very Belichick this year.
I have Derrick Henry because it seems like, you know, good guy.
He's the quiet leader.
Like he's going to show up, he's going to make everyone better. He's going to help out and do what he can. He's not going to make it to the end. Just not going to. We want him to. And that's sort of like where I feel like that guy is. But Belichick for me is, he almost has too much power to be Mike.
How is that good? How are we doing? How are we doing?
At the end of the day.
He is, but he knows.
He's the quiet leader.
The cunning man. A cunning man. God, I love this show. Now I kind of want to go back to. Okay, taking a quick break. Coming back because there are a few characters that are not maybe main characters, but characters nonetheless. We'll be right back. Ooh, that was a good one. We'll be right back. Okay, we are sports casting Breaking Bad, the Breaking Bad universe, as it were. We're coming back with some of the lesser known characters, but the characters that were vital, in my opinion, and we're gonna start with Todd, good old Todd, son of the scary, scary uncle, played by Jesse Plemons.
Yeah.
And I just, right off the bat, I'm going to give it to Mac Jones. Here's why. He's boy-faced. They're childlike in the faces. Mm-hmm. He's also part of an evil, evil organization. Mm-hmm. He acts sweet and nice, but at the end of the day, kind of a piece of shit. Like, that's sort of where it is. And that's why I'm going with Mac Jones. Sorry, Mac Jones and your family. I don't know that you're a POS, but for the sake of sports casting, you are.
I like that. No, that's a bold choice. We don't know who Mac Jones is going to be yet. He could be.
We really don't.
We don't know.
May not have long enough to tell us. I have no idea.
Right. I think Mac Jones right now is like just happy to be there, but we don't know who he's going to be when he has power, right? When he becomes who he becomes.
God, who y'all have?
Jay, who do you?
I don't have. Think?
That's a really good. I can't beat that. Yeah, I don't think we can beat that. I'm giving that to
sweet.
You. I'm trying to think. Is there another? Who else? I'm trying. No, I can't. I can't see it because it's not Matt Stafford. That's not who it is,
and it's not Jared Goff. It's not Jared Goff either.
Because Jared Goff's not in the playoffs either. Not in the playoffs. So yeah, I mean, it's got to be a playoff team. Oh, you know who it could be? But they're just not evil. But I mean, Joe Burrow could maybe give it a run for the money.
Yeah, Joe Burrow. I was like, where do I put Joe Burrow? That was a tough one because I really wanted to put him somewhere.
Joe Burrow could give it a run for the money because you're like, this guy presents in a certain way and he's a really good guy. But like, are we going to find out about like 18 mistresses? You know, he's not married, but like, what are we going to find out?
But what do we know? He could be.
Maybe he could be. I mean, maybe we just don't know yet, but he's definitely a good guy. I definitely love that kid.
Just a lot of people in this show were like kind of good people. And then they got caught up. You know who wasn't? I know these guys, the Salamanca brothers.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my
God. Brothers. Right. Yeah. They were scary.
Yeah.
Who do you have for them? Hector and Tuco.
The Pouncey brothers. The Pouncies.
That's what?
Good at what they do. Great at what they do. The Pouncey twins.
Great at what they do.
Great at what they do. Scary. Connected with some bad people who are incognito.
Okay.
if you know what I mean.
I mean, if you know.
If you know what I mean, Richie. And at the same time, like, to be feared, like, fearful guys, but at the same time, in the end, they're just not gonna
hammers. They're hammers, but they're not gonna.
They're
survive.
Hammers. They get the job done. You call them in when you need stuff. When you want stuff to get plowed out of the way. So I'm gonna go Pouncey Brothers.
Okay, y'all agree on that one?
Yes.
I have. I wanted to try to do it a familial tie, but I couldn't. So we have Hector as Big Ben. Okay. Or Big Ben as Hector. Mm-hmm. Bad past. We can't forget about that. You're not going to just pretend like it didn't happen.
Yep.
Barely can move. However, still terrifying. Very uh-huh. terrifying. Uh-huh. And nobody wants to piss him off, which is where right. we sort of are in the Big Ben story right now. And then Travis Kelce plays Tuco. A little bit of a pretty face. He uh-huh. gets the job done, does what he's asked, but he's not in charge. Not in charge of anything.
Got it.
Which is fine. That's totally fine. I think two of the most lovable characters in the show, almost sort of they pulled at your heart. A little bit was Skinny Pete and Badger.
Yeah,
Badger. Yeah. So yeah, Badger isn't he? Wasn't he a Badger. Comic? Isn't he? Wasn't he a comedian? Rand?
Yeah, he's a comedic actor. Comedic actor.
Who is it? Matt Jones? No, Matt something. Yeah,
Matt something. Yeah, like he's been in a bunch of commercials and stuff. And I mean, what a wonderful turn for that guy.
Yeah,
Jay, who did you have for Skinny Pete?
What do we say, Rand? Who do we say?
We had Aaron Rodgers on for somebody.
I think we had.
Where did we have
I think
Aaron
we had
Rogers?
Gronk yeah, for like Gronk for Badger. Just because
yeah.
he's
oh, yeah, okay.
dumb
big,
and fun.
Big, dumb,
tall,
but
dumb
like
and fun.
And then like you just, you give him the thing to do and he's going to do it. But then as soon as he goes off script, like takes his shirt off and starts pumping his fist at a club when he's got a broken hand and punching shit, you're like, okay, don't give him too much rope. You gave
too
him too much leash.
Yep.
So,
too much.
So that Badger as Gronk for like us it. Was, what about Skinny Pete, Jay?
Skinny Pete.
Who do you have for Skinny Pete?
I mean, they're all
so
screw
Skinny
ups.
Pete. Yeah, well, they are like Skinny Pete and Badger. I look at them as sort of they have to be together. So you have Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp, kind of goofy, kind of lovable. You're kind of rooting for them. Probably not going to be long term situation, but
I would
they have
throw
to be
OBJ.
Together.
OBJ could be my Skinny Pete because. It just you're like it's just not gonna work out, man. It's just not gonna work out for you. It's like as much as you want to work, it's just not gonna work out. I've seen flashes, like there's some brilliance there. It's just not gonna work out. It's just not.
That's
you
fair.
Just know. You know from the get go that it's not gonna be a life destined of great success.
But sometimes for a half a second you think, oh maybe. Nope. Never mind.
He's amazing, and now he's fighting a kicking net.
God, I know. But you know what? That's the worst he ever did, really. Could have been way worse.
He's not a bad guy. I don't think OBJ is a bad guy. I just think he's like... He's
a receiver.
Yeah, he's like Chad Ochocinco, but shorter.
He's a receiver who drank his own Kool-Aid.
That's fair. Which, by the way, receivers do, really.
Yeah.
You know, they're the flashiest.
Yeah.
I would be so obnoxious if I was a receiver. Steven Gomez doesn't get enough love, but then you go back and you think he's the quiet, the partner to Hank. He's a good cop. He's a good cop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, bad destiny on this one. Who's playing him?
Just the guy who's trying to do the right thing, but just in over his head and in the wrong scenario.
Okay.
Jay, who is your?
This was a hard one for me. I don't know that we had one on this one.
It was hard.
I don't know that we had one on this one out of the teams that are still in it.
Maybe I suggest JJ Watt.
Yeah.
JJ Watt's good.
Great intentions. Strong. May not last the entire playoff run, but.
It's Ryan Tannehill, maybe?
I was trying to figure out where to put him, too.
Maybe he's there. He's there where you're like. You know, he's never the reason why they're going to make the big bust, but he might be there to facilitate it for someone else to, for Hank.
That's good.
Like,
that's good.
He needs Derrick Henry. It's like we saw what he did in Miami. He wasn't doing anything on his own, but like you put him with like more talent and maybe he can go along for the ride. that's right. What I got for that one.
I don't hate it. God, we would be great casting directors. Uncle Jack. Uncle Jack's terrifying.
I mean, terrifying.
Uncle Jack's easy for me.
Who do you
but
have
you are, for you already used him. Because he's like a win at all costs, no morals, no principles, doesn't matter. It's Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no rules. He does his own thing.
That's good.
And also, he's terrifying.
I mean, I'm trying to think because I love Tomlin. But Tomlin has like a mean streak in him that's just, you know, he just doesn't put up with it. Like you know, when Tomlin just starts speaking in like general corporate terms, how pissed he is. You know what I mean? Like you just don't want to get on the wrong side. I feel like you just don't want to get on the wrong side of that guy. He's scary.
I feel like if I disappointed Tomlin, I'd be very mad at myself.
Well, exactly.
Like, I don't want to disappoint
him. You beat yourself up for it. Yeah.
I would maybe think of him in that slot.
All right. My last one here. Well, we're going to save the very best for last, obviously, but Jane Margolis. This one was easy for me.
That's my buddy, right, Ran? My neighbor?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's so sweet. Betsy.
Like I loved that character.
So the Betsy Brandt nurse kleptomaniac, right? Isn't that Jane?
No. Jane is.
Oh, what?
Kristen Ritter. That was Jesse's love interest.
Oh, Jane. All right. Yes. Yeah, sorry.
Jane. Hot Jane.
Yes. Yeah. Whose daughter? Like that guy's daughter, and she dies. Yeah, she dies on a drug overdose.
Spoiler alert.
That he gives her. Oh, well, if you're not.
A violent overdose. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Wasn't she on? She was in the B in apartment 23. That was her other show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Kind of like.
She was sort of like.
Flashy, attractive.
She was sexy. She was flashy. She was sassy. She was beautiful.
I mean,
she
was Jimmy Garoppolo for her. You could go, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. Beautiful to look at. Not going to be around for long.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Not me.
Beautiful to look at, but no, I would say describe it this way. Beautiful to look at, but fully disposable.
Yeah.
Right? There you go. That's great. Yeah, we haven't done any... Oh, you know who, like, as well, I was going to go back to Uncle Jack. I think you could put George Kittle in there.
Oh, wow.
He is a scary dude. Like, he
looks
like
part two.
Right? He's a scary dude. And, I mean, there was word that when the Rams were basically chirping in his ear when they were up 17 this past week, like, when the world's crashing down around him, is he freaking out? No, he's like, this is what he said apparently to them, is like, a lot of time, boys. A lot of time left on the clock. He said that to the Rams.
That's
They're
terrifying.
Down 17. Think of the balls on that guy. To say that at that moment, it's like that confidence is the type of confidence that can turn a game. Even when you're down, getting your ass kicked. It's like, so he's scary in those ways.
I can see that. Uncle Jack's like that. Like a sociopath only talks shit as they're dying. And they're still there. And they're like, oh,
losing
God.
A fight and talking shit is almost scarier than like.
Way scarier.
We always say this. This is a rule in life. Never fight the calm guy.
Calm Ever. Guy is going to, if he's calm, get out of there. Because he will kill
if
you with his thumb.
If the serial killer is walking to get you and not running,
that's right.
Don't
fight the
screwed.
Calm guy.
You're done. You're going to trip and fall and he's going to get you.
Okay. We're saving the very best for last. Quick break. Boom, boom, boom. And we'll be back to wrap it up. All right, we've been sportscasting the Breaking Bad universe. We saved Saul. We had to save Saul because you guys obviously were on a couple episodes of Better Call Saul. Saul was a hero to many in the Breaking Bad universe. We need to cast him from any player that is remaining in the NFL playoffs.
I mean, this is where we put Aaron Rodgers. This is where we put Aaron Rodgers.
Wow. Okay.
Smart. Because funny. Gets himself into tight situations and somehow gets his way out. Not afraid. Charismatic.
Hella charismatic.
Hella charismatic. I mean, for all we know, in 4 years, he could be working at a Cinnabon in Omaha. We don't know.
Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. But I think that does his best work when his back is up against the wall, you know? And I do believe that with Aaron Rodgers as well. I mean... Truth of the matter is, we did a deep dive. We were guest hosting Rome show this past summer. We did it a bunch.
Fun.
And we were just kind of, this is when the whole offseason stuff, when Aaron Rodgers just lit up. He wasn't getting the contract. He lit up everybody for all the teammates.
Consulting with him about
Jordy Nelson and all the teammates that they kind of left by the, you know, basically it's like you watch enough Hard Knocks, you know, that when someone calls you and bring your iPad, that you're screwed.
But right. Like, right.
What's the one thing they always say? Football's a business. It's a business. It's a business. Yep. And Aaron Rodgers was like, nope, it's not a business. It's people. And, you know, that's the mistake that Saul makes a lot in his series, is like he kind of puts people in front of the business aspect of it. Always, yep. Always, always. And again, deeply flawed himself in making mistakes too, and then somehow gets himself out of it. But the deep dive we took is that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback. It has been the best quarterback in the NFL the last couple of years, like hands down. Like he's doing things in terms of like touchdown to interception ratio that's like, that we just haven't seen. It's like Tom Brady isn't even close to him as far as that goes.
Which is weird to say out loud. Like weird to say that out loud.
It is. And so the good news
is, he should have more. And that's like Saul. He should have more successes, but he doesn't. He doesn't have more successes. And even though he's flawed, even though he's made mistakes, we still love him and weirdly are rooting for him. It's a bizarre, you know, we've met Aaron Rodgers and he loves comedy. He's a good dude. You know, we've connected with him and deeply.
Yeah. And then there's like moments that I'm like, just get a fucking vaccine, you dumbass. Like, I'm sorry, but like, just get a shot. My daughter just got her booster yesterday. And like, give me a break.
It's so far in though. Now you can't. Now you don't.
I know, but it's like, but I'm like, you're Aaron Rodgers. You have millions of dollars. You're the coolest guy ever. Be the guy who doubles back on what you're saying. Like, who cares? Like, be that guy. Like, your heels were dug in and then. It's like, but it's just so annoying. Like that aspect is so annoying. If he was my friend, I'd be like, dude, what are you doing? But again, but not saying I wouldn't love him. I'm just saying right. I would say it because I care about him and I want him to be right. healthy and I want him to be safe. So it's like, I kind of have that attitude as opposed to other people who I would be like, you're an idiot. I'm like, dude, I love you, bud. Like do the thing, the right thing, you know, in my opinion, do the right thing. And then we're very opinionated on it, but whatever. The point is,
It has been a weird year because we're not used to Aaron Rodgers sort of drama, and not just with vaccination and all that kind of stuff. It was like, we talked more about Aaron Rodgers, I think, this year, non-football stuff than we ever have in his whole career. And yet,
they're still the number one seed. They're still the number one seed. He is the reason that they're the number one.
He's the one I wouldn't want to scheme for in the playoffs. I wouldn't want to go up against that team.
God, me neither. Oh, I think they're going to win it all.
Legit shot to win it all.
Part of me wants it to happen because I believe that quarterback, that guy deserves two. He deserves two because that's fair. Like, in the same way that I thought Marino deserved at least one, this guy deserves two. And that's just the way it goes. It's like he's a Hall of Famer first ballot. There's no question. There's just none. As soon as he goes out, he's done. And I believe he could go to another team that's close and take them there the way I believe he had.
Like physically close or?
No, I'm saying close.
No, like close to a build. Championship. Close that has to, the it just means,
oh, I was going
to
say, like, what are you
I'm
saying?
I'm thinking Denver. You know what I mean? You know, I could see what him going to Denver.
The Bears, goes to the Bears and make him great.
That's what I thought. I was like, are you saying he's going to the Bears?
Oh, my God.
I can't even. No.
It would be crazy. And watch all the Bears fans who hate him around and be like, he's our guy.
That's my guy.
Oh, and Packers fans would be, I mean, that's like the biggest heartbreak.
Daggers.
It would be the biggest.
It'd be the biggest dagger in the heart. But, I mean, he's.
Throw that dagger in his heart and just shove it up there. It's not fun to go to these Packer games anymore. Who are you? I'm a Bears fan and a Packers.
Bears fan getting just clabbered. But I think I think he is that complicated and complex character. He is also like in my opinion, the lead of the league, you know, and in the same way that I would put Brady as Walter White, I think, you know, he's the lead of this. He's the next guy on the next series. And, you know, again, I think complex, complicated, yet at this makes mistakes, gets to the promised land, but can't fully get there because of a lot of times screw ups that other people that he has to cover that isn't right. his screw up, that is just another thing that he's left with a choice. Do I take care of this person and this thing or do it. That's literally Saul's MO is like, do I take care of my brother who's going to then stab me in the back? Do I allow the ownership to, you know, and finally he got fed up with it this summer and he just was like, no.
Finally, it was like in the episode that we were in, he was like, I'm trying to do this way. I'm trying to do it the way everyone's trying to tell me. And you know what? I got to go become Slippin' Jimmy again. I got to go slip on the drumstick.
Drumsticks.
And then trump up a lawsuit in your face and force
it's
your hand.
My only way. It's my only way I can do this. So there you go.
Yeah. See, I didn't even think about it as like the lead in the second show, the next show. I went with Joe Burrow, but here's why. Not because of any sort of allusions to genius, because we don't know yet, do we? But he's like the most likable person on the screen at all times. I do think there's something about Joe Burrow that's very likable.
Love him.
Not 100% sure what the substance level is yet. We're going to find out. I hope. I'm buying it. I'm buying what he's selling. We're all in on that. I don't know that we take him super seriously yet, which is how Saul was in The Breaking Bad, especially now that we've had more time to know who he is. And, you know, kind of waiting to see how it all plays out. But he's the guy I root for any single time he's on the screen. And that's how I feel about it. But yeah, you guys went way deeper on the damn it.
What do you mean? Like you asked us to prepare for this. Normally people are like, we prepared. We prepared, Beatles.
Yeah, I know. I like the Aaron Rodgers one as Saul. All right. That was I don't know why Hollywood doesn't just give us a casting company and like Please. We just do that, right? They're afraid of greatness.
Afraid of our power.
Afraid of what we would do. All right, tell everybody where they can find you guys.
Okay, so you can listen to Michelle Beadle on our podcast. It's going to be a very different thing. She's going to do our podcast, which is going to drop this. I don't know when this drops, but it'll probably already drop. So you can check her out on ours and then go back and listen to all the other episodes that we have, because we have great people on the show. It's called View from the Cheap Seats. It's a sports podcast that comes out every week. Sports, comedy, music, it's all good. We have a Patreon where we're doing new episodes of Cheap Seats called Cheaper Seats. So that was really good. And that's on our Patreon, patreon.com/Sklar Brothers for $5 a month. You can just hang out with us and we'd give you lots of extra content and new episode every single month. That's been really fun and really cool to do. Live stand-up, supersklars.com. And a big announcement. And we should just announce it, right, Jay? Can we just say it?
Yeah, say it.
Okay. So, you know, Cheap Seats has always been that show that just people have come to us and said, we love it. And can you do when are you going to do a new one? And, you know, we can get into this and talk about it when you come on our show, because, you know, there are a lot of feelings we have about ESPN and I'm sure you have them too. you know, we really wanted to do it again and wanted to do it. And so we're like, how do we figure this out? And we are very happy to announce, and we're kind of announcing it, that we are going to be doing a new version of Cheap Seats and this is so, it may be like, wow, that's surprising, but it's just going to be so much fun for UFC's Fight Pass. So Fight Pass is their library of all the stuff that they have. And so
they have everything that goes all the way back to 1994, to 93.
UFC 1 and weird pride.
Oh my God.
Pride fights from early 2000s and the Ultimate Fighter episodes and like weird Alaskan multi-round fights that are in the back of someone's backyard. So like we dig deep into their library. We're going to do 6 episodes. It's probably going to be out this summer. Instead of Cheap Seats, it's the UFC. So we're calling the show The Nosebleeds. It's perfect. Perfect for that. And we've sort of put together an all-star team of people to help us create this show and continue in the tradition of what it was, and it's just us making fun of the old footage, but in a reverent way too. We look at it like, remember, like you ever see an old yearbook picture of you senior year, Beatle, and you're like, what was I wearing?
Yeah, why is my hair like that?
Right? What was I thinking? And that's kind of what this is like, we know what UFC has become. It's a juggernaut. It's incredible. It's the fourth sport. It's just like this. What they do is so good. They make everything happen on a monthly basis. It's an incredible organization as we've sort of gotten into it and figured out who they were and gotten to know them. But in the early days, it was just like a free-for-all and just nuts and like sumo wrestlers were fighting other guys. And it just was bizarre. And we're like, that's what we're going to make fun of. And we're going to have fun with it. So
this is awesome. God, this is awesome. Yeah, because some of that footage is like, what in the hell am I even looking at right now? This is going to be great. I am so happy about this.
So the Nosebleed's coming out probably this summer on UFC Fight Pass. You subscribe to that and you get it, and it's just going to be a blast. So for all of our fans, we're very excited. We're working on that now in production.
Dude, I'm super excited for you guys. I'm really stoked to hear that. I am so happy you guys were on.
Thank you.
Happy late birthday. We are old ass bastards, and I appreciate it.
You're not. We are. You're not.
Oh, no. No. It's for a woman, it's like I have like 3 years for everyone of yours. So yeah, no, I'm not on that one. It's totally fine. Guys, I love it. I'm so happy we got to catch up.
Shout out Paige for getting us on, too. Like,
shout out Paige. Shout out. I'm just going to shout out everybody. Shout out Q for wearing his Michigan hat today.
My man.
Just shout out everyone.
Thank you.
Thank
Go
you
blue.
Guys.
Go blue.
Go blue. Go blue.